Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International. I am Muhammad Bamin. I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. With me online, I have is Marana Zir Ahmad Raghi. Marana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Marana?
Alhamdulillah, Marana, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, and we also take this opportunity of greeting all our listeners on Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marana, we were discussing the commentary of Surah Al-Kahf, and we reached the point of the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam. And in our last few lessons that we did, I know we didn't have a program in the last 3 weeks, but before that, we explained about Yusha alayhi salatu wasalam and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam as they were traveling. And we mentioned that Allah mentions in the Quran when they were traveling about a word that comes nasaba, that they travel beyond the place where they're supposed to stop until exhaustion beyond belief has reached them, and that's when they return. And when they return back, it was Allah mentions qasasa, step by step they retracted. And Allah mentions, just to recap the ayat of the Quran which Allah mentions, Allah says, قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَ إِذَا وَيْنَا إِلَى السَّخْرَةِ فَإِنِّي نَسِيتُ الْحُوتُ وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانُ نَذْكُرَهُ وَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ عَجَبًا. That Yusha alayhi salam replied, did I not tell you that when you sought shelter by the boulder I forgot the fish? It was certainly shaitan that made me forget to mention it to Musa alayhi salam. It made its way into the sea in an extremely marvelous way. Thereafter, Musa alayhi salam mentions, قَالَ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنَّا نَبْخْ فَرْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا. He says that death was the very thing that we were seeking, because it marked the place where we will meet Khidr alayhi salatu salam. So they retracted the steps back to the boulder. Thereafter, Allah mentions, فَوَجَدَا عَبْدًا مِّنْ عِبَادِنَا آتِيْنَهُ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّ عِلْمًا. Then when they reached this place, they found a slave of ours whose name was Khidr, whom we have granted mercy, especially from ourselves, made him a chosen servant of ours, and to whom we had given our special knowledge, informed him of certain aspects of the unseen. This is just mentioning about Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam. In our last lesson, we mentioned why Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam was a prophet of Allah, because only if he was a prophet would he receive wahi, and only the actions that will come further in the surah will show that he had to have wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do those actions. And I think that's where we stopped.
Yes, Maulana. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We were discussing, and we are discussing, the incident of Musa and Khidr alayhimu salatu wassalam in our commentary of Surah Kahf. We concluded with this ayah where they returned and they found a servant of Allah, and we now go on to the next ayah, ayah number 6, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ لَهُ مُوسَى هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. So after Musa alayhi salatu wasalam sees Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, he speaks to him and he says, can I follow you based that you will teach me from whatever you have been taught from guidance? Now if we recall, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had been advised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go and find the special servant of his whom Allah has given some special knowledge. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in search of this knowledge, now eventually sees Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam. And when he sees him, he says to him, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. That he speaks to him and says, can I follow you? And can I be with you on the basis and on the condition that you will teach me from whatever you have been taught from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mimma ullimta rushda, that you have been taught from the guidance of Allah. Now the rules here have been reversed. In the first passage, we had a student and was giving the student instructions. Here, Musa is now the student. In the first incident, when Musa alayhi salatu was salam was traveling with Yusha, Musa was actually the teacher and Yusha was the student. Here the rules have been reversed. And here the person Musa is now, alayhi salatu wassalam, is now the student, and he's asking the instructor, who is Khidr alayhi salatu wassalam, if he can teach him. قال له موسى هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا. موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام said to him out of urgency and out of excitement when he meets him, shall I follow you on account of the fact that, or based on the idea that you'll teach me from what you have been taught, uprightness and good judgment? Could you teach me from what you have been taught in terms of rightness? Knowledge and guidance have been tied together, which is an important distinction. Mimma ulimta rushda, knowledge and guidance, ilm and rushd. So what we note here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in talking and relating this incident to us, and in the way Musa alayhi salatu was salam speaks, there is something that we are learning here, that knowledge and guidance have been tied together, which is an important distinction. Rushda, teach me the knowledge from all of the knowledge that you have that will guide me and give me guidance. Now, knowledge can be that of no direction. People that are needy, that have information about all kinds of things, but they have no direction. So knowledge on its own, without having the right direction, is of no benefit. Knowledge is supposed to give one guidance. It's supposed to give you direction. It is not the goal in itself. Knowledge is not the goal in itself. It has to be coupled with having the direction that it's supposed to give you. Now, the Quran Kareem is supposed to be the book that guides you. But in it, you can get lost in a lot of details. You are studying it to learn it, and so it can give you direction in life. Now, what's important about knowledge is never to lose sight of direction. Now, this story, it ties the story to the story of the people of the cave, because the people lost the point of that story and got caught up in trivial details. Musa alayhi salatu was salam here is asking for knowledge, and he's asking for such knowledge that is guiding, that will guide him so he doesn't miss the point and lose the way. And therefore, the word rushda has been used. So that you may teach me rushd. Rushd is a qualifier of whatever you've been taught. So whatever the good stuff you've been taught, can you teach me some of that good that you have been given? Or it may be a description of what he was taught that is upright. Now, there's a beautiful transition that takes place here. We had a teacher and a student, Musa and Yusha alayhi salatu was salam. Now the roles have changed. The teacher is now about to become the student. In the previous case, we saw this, that the student forgot certain instructions. If you remember, Musa alayhi salatu was salam was the teacher. Yusha was the student. Yusha was supposed to give him and direct him to the place where they were going to meet Khidr. But when the fish went out of the boat, he forgot that instruction. So in the previous case, we saw that the student forgot certain instructions. Now, when the roles are changing, and when Musa alayhi salatu was salam is now going to become the student, we find that he is also going to forget certain instructions. Musa alayhi salatu was salam humbles himself to a great degree. Imam Qurtubi has very beautifully described this transition. This is a kind of question that is asked by someone that is very courteous. That is, Musa alayhi salatu was salam, in the manner that he is addressing Khidr, is a kind of question that is asked by someone that is very courteous. Because the question itself is very polite. And the question itself is very respectful. And it's made about his own self and permissions rather than a demand being put onto the teacher. And the one who is addressing has put themselves in an extremely low and humble position. Musa alayhi salatu was salam, that now is the student, places himself in such a humble position that he is addressing Khidr in an extremely humble and low way. And the meaning would be something like, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي. would you found that agreeable, and would that not be too much of a burden on you, that I may follow you? Some other ulama have said, if this, in this we find very strong evidence that seekers of knowledge should always be courteous. Seekers of knowledge should always be soft. Seekers of knowledge should always be gentle with the teachers and deal with them respectfully. If you have too formal of a relationship, then you are afraid to ask questions and learn, and the relationship becomes too artificial and distant and cold. But the relationship can't be too friendly or, you know, chummy, because then they just become one of the same group and treat them like one of yourselves. And that is the diminishing not only of the teacher, but also of the knowledge being taught. Now, in some cultures, the balance is tipped against students in Muslim cultures and against teachers in most of the Western culture. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam here is taking the first step with his teacher and taking the initiative and asking the question. Don't hesitate in asking questions. As a student, you should not be hesitant in asking questions. You should be asking questions. However, the approach and the attitude should be one of humbleness, should be one of humility. Because questioning is half of knowledge. Now, if you come back to the ayah, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ, the word أَتَّبِعُكَ, which is derived from the word ittiba, is not for learning, it is for following. So Musa alayhi salatu wassalam is asking Khidr alayhi salatu wassalam if he could shadow him, if he could follow him around to completely understand how he operates. Subhanallah. So Musa did not only say, may I learn from you, but said, may I follow you, may I shadow you, and may I go around with you and accompany you to completely understand how you operate. The eagerness here of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam is to learn. Now, there are certain things that you can learn from books, but there is a practical real life learning. And that is what Musa alayhi salatu wassalam is yearning to learn. We are learning here that not all kinds of knowledge are the same. Later up it will come and we'll understand and we'll learn and we'll read that Musa alayhi salatu wassalam is not here to learn revelation. He was not following Khidr in order to learn things about the Torah. He didn't come to learn Sharia from Khidr. He is learning something outside of those realms, because clearly Allah has given value to something outside of the textual religious learning. Subhanallah. In fact, Imam Razi goes as far as saying that you should be with your sheikh and sort of mimic them and their humility. But Musa alayhi salatu wassalam did follow Khidr, but he did also criticize him. Subhanallah. So these teachers are still human. So we should mimic their good behavior, but never blindly attribute absolute righteousness to a person after prophets. Everybody may be subject to criticism because we may all falter. And I'll just make mention of that again. Imam Razi has said that Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, he goes as far as saying, Imam Razi, that you should be with your sheikh, with your teacher, and sort of mimic them in their humility. However, Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, whilst following Khidr alayhi salatu wassalam, and Khidr was in the position of a teacher, and he came here to learn things from Khidr, not part of revelation, not part of the Torah, not part of Sharia, but things that were outside the realm of the Torah. But teachers are still human. So we mimic them in their good behavior, but never blindly attribute always absolute righteousness to a person other than the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Everyone is subject to criticism besides the Anbiya, because people may falter. Healthy disagreement is part of our tradition. And subhanallah, in this lesson of Musa and Khidr alayhi salatu wassalam, we learn that there was healthy disagreement, and healthy disagreement is part of our tradition. The concept for our own spiritual development, you should have a mentor. For your own spiritual development, it's good to have a mentor. Some give it the form of tasawwuf and giving bay'ah to a sheikh. Some say that has no basis, and there is a big deep debate about it and the idea of having a guide and a murshid. Human beings do need mentorship, but the form that mentorship takes is not given a standardized structure in Islam. You have in the Quran, for example, Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam is giving advice to his son. Luqman, the Hakim, is giving advice to his son. So his dad is his mentor. Luqman was the mentor for his children. It can come from anyone in your life. It doesn't have to be given a particular kind of form. In the way that today some spiritualists give it a particular form, and that's the only way that you will gain spiritual development. There is no restricted particular structure for spiritual development. And that's an important lesson that we learn here. Your spiritual development does not necessarily have to have a standardized structure. It can come from anyone. Like in the story of Luqman, when he gives advice to his children, he, the dad, is making means for the spiritual development of his children. So your spiritual development can come from anyone in your life. It doesn't have to be given a particular kind of form. So the more we institutionalize these kinds of things, we end up creating an absolute trust in these kinds of individuals. And Islam gives us caution that that should not be the way. This didn't have a precedent in Islam. So, mentorship, spiritual development is important. Intellectual development is important. Spiritual development is important. Emotional development is important. These are all part of the mentorship that Islam desires us to have. Intellectual, spiritual, emotional. So you should have someone you can confide in. You should have someone you can talk to. And you should have someone from whom you can take the advice in things. Now if you look at the way that the Israelites spoke to Musa alayhi salatu wassalam in comparison, call your master for us and make dua to him. There was no respect or etiquette in the way they asked. However, in the way Musa alayhi salatu wassalam is addressing Khidr, when he wants to learn from him, he says, Hal attabi'uka, ittiba, follow, is an illusory reference to shadowing someone. The word ala, hal attabi'uka ala. Ala is being used to make it clear that the condition of following is to learn. So the sole purpose of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam to follow Khidr was to learn. Any seeker of knowledge has to know his or her own intentions. When we seek knowledge, there is a need for us to verify our intentions of seeking. If that motive is not clear, then nothing will happen. If that motive is not clear, then nothing will change. The word following was used, hal attabi'uka, instead of learning from you. Instead of saying, may I learn from you, Musa said, may I follow you. And this is the case because these two things are so closely related to each other that you can't possibly learn until you truly commit yourself. So the word ala, hal attabi'uka ala, is actually describing his commitment, Musa alayhi salatu wassalam's commitment, and he is demonstrating the commitment to sit through the lessons. When we engage in learning, not everything we learn is an epic moment. When we engage in learning, not everything we learn becomes an epic moment. Sometimes you learn stuff that may be boring. Or sometimes you learn things that you don't understand. Musa alayhi salatu wassalam's story is very indicative of this. He is learning one thing after another, and he doesn't see the point behind what he is learning, as we learn from the story. But he made a commitment, and so he is staying through it and with it. You have to commit yourself, even if you have to cross the oceans. Once you make the journey to learn, it isn't the journey that is difficult. Your efforts were all just to get your journey started. So Musa alayhi salatu wassalam was committed to work. He was committed to travel. And he was committed to work and travel centuries to find it. And when his day of learning began, when he meets Khidr, he recommits himself and didn't take a lackadaisical attitude. He said, "Hal attabi'uka ala an tu'allimani." The fact that the noon at the end, tu'allimani at the end, is short, shows that he is humbling himself. He wants to learn from Khidr as though he was small, and he is humbling himself before his teacher. He is recognizing that it is a privilege to get to learn from Khidr. He didn't say tu'allimani, that means after the noon ayah. If you look at the ayah and the actual wording of the Quran, tu'allimani at the end of the noon, there is no ya. In reality, it should have been that way. But he didn't say that, because that would demonstrate more value to himself in front of his teacher. He did not bring emphasis on himself, but he kept the emphasis, restricted the emphasis only on the fact of learning. He did not say that, "May I learn, will you teach me?" But he just said, "May I follow you so that you teach." And he removed himself from the sentence. He is recognizing that it is a privilege to get to learn from Khidr. He didn't say, "Teach me," because that would demonstrate more value to himself in front of his teacher. Ibn Ashur, a very famous commentator, says that this knowledge that Musa alayhi salatu wassalam asked for has nothing to do with the Sharia of the Bani Israel. It has nothing to do with the code of worship, understanding reality. There are two branches or areas of knowledge. Ilm al-riwaya, which is knowledge of the text and books. And then there is ilm al-diraya, which is knowledge of the reality. What is going on around you and around the world. Now, these two seem very cut off from each other. And this is a debate that lots of people have. Let's understand that there are two branches of knowledge. Ilm al-riwaya, which is knowledge of the text, knowledge of the books, and then there is also ilm al-diraya, which is knowledge of reality, what is going on around you and around the world. These two seem very cut off from each other. Those that are textually sound and know the hadith and Quran, but they have no idea what is happening in the world, in world politics or in the world. Then you get the people who understand and study reality, are so locked up in that, they get no time to study deen. And those that study the religion have little or no time to study reality. And there's been created a dichotomy between the two. Now here we learn and we notice, Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, subhanallah, already has exhaustive knowledge of the Sharia. He has tremendous and full comprehensive knowledge of the religious tradition, of the Torah. So Allah is going to take him on an internship to study reality. And we learn here that both forms of knowledge are required. In the story here we find ships are being confiscated by corrupt kings. A child will grow up and be bad to his parents. Orphans will grow up not tended to. The knowledge of reality that Musa alayhi salatu was salam is going to face is that ships are going to be confiscated by corrupt kings. Children will grow up and be bad to their parents. Orphans will grow up and not be tended to. So Musa alayhi salatu was salam is going to be exposed to that type of corruption in the world and Allah's plan of dealing with it. So this is a total different type of knowledge that Allah had advised Musa to go and learn from one of his servants, Khidr, whom Allah had given special knowledge with regards to these things. But these are also ugly realities. One of the prime reasons of the surah being revealed is to protect us from Dajjal. We spoke about this in the beginning. One of the primary reasons of the surah being revealed is to give protection to us from the fitna of Dajjal. And in times of fitna, one has to understand the reality perfectly well, because it is a time of confusion. Subhanallah. This knowledge that Musa alayhi salatu was salam is going out to learn, knowledge of reality, is a knowledge that Musa alayhi salatu was salam is going to learn, because these are knowledges which advises and guides one in times of confusion and trials. One of the primary reasons for the surah to be revealed was to protect us from the fitna of Dajjal and the ideologies of Dajjal. And we had made mention previously that this surah does not only protect us from the fitna of Dajjal by the mere recital of the surah, but also to understand the lessons that are contained in the surah is equally important for us to know, so that we may be able to navigate through the fitnas that we may face. Now, what Musa alayhi salatu was salam is going to be exposed to is ugly realities. And this surah, in times of fitna, one has to understand the reality perfectly well, because it is a time of confusion. So Musa says, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا رُشْدًا. What does it refer to? It can refer to one of two things. Rushda can be attributed to Khidr. So tell me whatever Allah guided you with, or it can be attributed to Musa alayhi salatu was salam, meaning, could you teach me and guide me from whatever you have been taught? The duality here is beautiful and can be attributed to both the teacher and the student. This word, rushda, linguistically would mean the best possible course of action at every level. Subhanallah. Rushda, linguistically, would mean, guide me to such knowledge that will be the best possible course of action on every level. Mimma ulimta rushda. The word mimma, this suggests from, or a subset, or a fraction of what you've been taught. So may I follow you, says Musa to Khidr, so that you may teach from that which you have been taught. So Musa is asking, I want to learn only a subset of what you've learned. Musa does not want to overwhelm the teacher by asking him for everything that Khidr has. This is something that the teacher might see as small, but it is big from you. And it is also humility that you just want to learn a small bit, and that you may not be able to comprehend more than that. When you study with your teacher, you are not going to come out as the same person as your teacher. But you have a unique life experience and a unique contribution to make. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam will learn some things from Khidr, but he may not learn everything. This is a learning philosophy. Knowledge is not black and white. You have to understand what this particular teacher has that can benefit you with. What is a specialization that you can benefit most from? So Musa asked Khidr, may I follow you? May I accompany you so that I may learn from that which you have and I may benefit from that? Allah continues, he says, قَالَ إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. Khidr said, no doubt about it, you are not going to be capable of being patient with me. After Musa asks and requests to accompany Khidr so that he may learn from the realities of the world that Khidr has been given knowledge of, Khidr says to him, if this is your request, that you want to accompany me and you want to learn from me, however, إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا, no doubt about it, you are not going to be capable of bearing patience with me. The idea here of using the word إِنَّكَ, قَالَ إِنَّكَ, which emphasizes certainty. Now, a question arises. Khidr is meeting Musa alayhi salatu wasalam for the first time. And meeting someone for the first time, and he already passes this judgment from the first impression. And he says, but most certainly, you are not going to be able to bear patience with me. Some teachers can size up their students from the very beginning, and they analyze what the students say. And the impatience of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam isn't going to be with the lessons, but it will be impatience with Khidr himself. So Musa has been addressed by Khidr. So Khidr has already judged Musa, and he says to him, like how some teachers are able to size up the students from the very beginning, and they analyze what the students say, and the impatience of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is not with the lessons, but it is with the impatience of Khidr himself. And Allah goes on further, says that Khidr even further says, after saying that you, no doubt you are not going to be capable of being patient with me, وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُوا عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِدْ بِهِ خُبْرًا, and how are you going to have patience anyway over things you haven't grasped or encompassed, whilst you are not going to be patient? And Khidr also gives him the reason. How are you going to be able to bear patience when you are going to be given, or you are going to be faced, exposed to things about which you have no full knowledge? You haven't grasped or encompassed these things. So he's basically, Khidr is basically telling Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that you are going to be doing things and you won't have the whole story. You're just going to have part of the story. So in these two ayah, there are two different kinds of impatience highlighted. In ayah 67, it is impatience with the teacher. And in ayah 68, it is impatience with the lessons and the lack of information that Musa is given. So basically, the logic of why certain things are happening and why they are happening. Knowledge and education is often referred to in Arabic as tarbiyah. Education is often referred to in Arabic as tarbiyah, which is the same word used for taking care of a plant. It's a gradual introduction of knowledge until the student absorbs, but not flooding with knowledge all at once. And this is great wisdom. If we look at the various forms of studies, whether it is school, whether it is madrasa, whether it is in a Darul Uloom, whether it is in universities, there are stages upon stages upon stages. And the one level and one stage is completed, and then you go to a higher level and a higher stage. And this wisdom is there so that one does not become overwhelmed at one moment about the realities of what one is studying. So you are able to grasp in accordance to your limited understanding. Once that understanding is achieved, you go to a higher level. And therefore, education is often referred to in Arabic as tarbiyah, which is the same word used for taking care of a plant. It is gradual introduction of knowledge until the student absorbs, but not flooding him with knowledge all at once. So, Ayah 67 and Ayah 68. Khidr, after Musa questions and requests to learn, says, إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. Most certainly you are not going to be able to be patient with me. وَكَيْفَ تَسْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِدْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. And how are you going to be patient when you will not encompass the entire information about the realities that you are going to be exposed with? The theme of patience is a special theme in this story. In the story, patience is made dependent on the recognition that Allah knows the unseen. So it is dependent on how well you recognize this. The strength we have in bad situations comes from the fact of how much we believe in the unseen that is happening, that we don't know about, but still believe to be khair. This is the lesson to be learned here. Allah alone owns the unseen. Allah alone owns the unseen of the skies and the earth. The unseen was mentioned before. And this was particularly important for the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they were going through a lot. But Allah has things working out in the background. Sometimes in the Quran, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is criticized. Like in Surah Abasa, or how Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was slandered. Aisha has one of the most noble tasks of being a fourth of our tradition to us. She is one of the most revered women. But Allah put her in a situation that is humiliating, of being accused of cheating on her husband, who is the messenger of Allah, and people of her own family are buying into it. This went on for a month. The experience she went to is so horrible and so bad. But the Quran described it. Don't imagine it to be something evil that happened to you, but it is something that is good for you. It is good in the unseen, but not in the seen. Until the day of judgment, there will be women's reputation that will be ruined. And until that day, these women will gain the strength from the words Allah revealed for Aisha, and they will have consolation. Aisha herself, radiallahu ta'ala anha, said that she never thought she would be worthy of Quran coming down for her. That is a lesson that is reinforced, that even the noblest of people may become humiliated. So this is the first response from Khidr to Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. After he asked Khidr if he can follow him and learn from him, Khidr responds by saying two things at the same time. You are not going to be able to be patient with me. Some scholars have commented saying that Khidr, as a seasoned teacher, sized up Musa alayhi salatu wassalam and could tell what kind of student he was, and that he would not be able to handle what Khidr was going to try to teach him. Some other commentators have said that from the narrations we know that Allah had informed Khidr of Musa and of his capabilities. And given Musa's character and his intolerance for justice, Khidr knows he won't be able to bear the kinds of tests he's going to bear. And this is a witness to Musa's character, that he won't stand by and let injustices happen, and that he has no intolerance for injustice. Marana, I think we are running short of time. Maybe we'll just stop here if there's any questions that anyone has, and then we'll continue from here next week, inshallah.
Inshallah, Marana. Jazakallah for your time. Much appreciated. Inshallah, we'll speak to Marana next week, Wednesday again.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
It brings to the end of today's episode. Until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Bam, and my engineer, brother Ziyad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.